novel was not easy to write. So much of this series is an exploration of the relationships between fathers and sons, that sitting down to tell more of it often felt like I was being forced to face the fact that my father was gone, and losing him had already blown a hole right through me. But reminding myself that my dad was there to raise me, teach me, watch me get married, and see me have a son of my own keeps me moving forward. He was there for me in every way that he could be, and I know that's not always possible. So, if this pain is the price for having had and being loved by a father like him, then I'll pay it gladly. This book is for Neville Leopold Winter, whom I never stopped calling Daddy. Chapter 1. Jabari Onai. Will he die? The voice woke him, returning him to torture. He knew he was in a hospital bed in Citadel City's Guardian Keep, and that his body had been blasted by dragonfire. But Jabari Onai did not know why the goddess would keep him alive in such misery. He tried to open his eyes, and pain roared across his face in scorching waves. His eyelids had melted and fused together, leaving him to peer out at a world as if from behind a field of long grass. He made to speak, to beg Tao or the Sa priestesses and priests to release him from his anguish, but he couldn't make a sound. His throat was too badly burned to manage it.
"I won't tell you he's going to die," Jabari heard a woman's voice say. "But I can't say that he'll live either."
The speaker moved toward the foot of his bed, and through the jagged gaps between his burned eyelids, he caught a glimpse of her standing next to Tao. She was a priestess of the Sa Medicinal Order.
"He's only survived this long because he's noble," she said. "Their bodies can withstand more, and they heal faster than us. But the damage that was done to him, it's a miracle he's still breathing."
"He's a fighter," Tao said.
"He's always been one, and if you can give him any sort of chance, he'll take up the fight and do his best to win it."
"We won't give up," she said.
Jabari heard a chair being pulled across the floor. It creaked when someone sat in it.
"I'm here, Jabari. It's Tao, and I'm here."
"He can't hear you," the priestess said. "The pain, we are giving him herbs to help him rest. It's too cruel otherwise."
"Will it disturb him if I'm here?"
Tao asked.
"No,"
she said.
"We should all be so lucky to have someone with us at a time like this."
Jabari heard footsteps. The priestess was leaving, and when the sound of her shoes tapping against the floor faded, Tao leaned over him to take his hand. He did it gently, but it didn't matter. Pain exploded from Jabari's burned fingers, and unable to make a sound or resist, he stared through the holes in his eyelids at his friend's scarred and worried face, hoping beyond hope that Tao could see enough of his eyes to recognize the light of consciousness in them. Tao didn't see. He kept hold of Jabari's hand, and desperate for any relief, Jabari sought refuge in his other senses. He caught the scent of leather, bronze, and earth from Tao, and struggled to pull comfort from the familiar, but his agony made room for nothing but itself.
"I want you to know you did it," Tao said. "You're the man you always wanted to be. You don't need the blood of a greater noble to be an Ingonyama, not when you have their spirit, their courage."
He could hear Tao choking up, and that hurt too.
"Jabari, no matter what comes, I'll make Setin, the Omehi, remember you for that."
There was silence for a while, and though his mind was slow, sluggish from the herbs, in his head, Jabari was screaming. The burns demanded it.
"It could have been different, ne? If not for the testing,"
Tao said, whispering.
"Feels like 1,000 lifetimes ago. I just wanted to see you succeed. But when has the world ever cared what Elessa wanted?"
Jabari would never forget that day. Tao had sparred with that